Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We're here again to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will finish up The Law of Reproduction by covering questions 695 to 701. Then we will start The Law of Preservation, covering questions 702 to 706.
Enjoy.
Question 695. Is marriage the permanent union of two individuals contrary to the law of nature?
It represents progress in the evolution of humankind.
Question 696. What effect would abolishing marriage have on human society?
A return to the life of the animals.
Author's remarks for question 696. The free and fortuitous union of the sexes belongs to the state of nature. Marriage is one of the primary acts of progress in human society because it establishes fraternal solidarity and may be found among all cultures, though under the most diverse expressions. Abolishing marriage would therefore be a return to humankind's infancy and would place humans even below some animals that demonstrate examples of stable unions. Question 697. Does the absolute indissolvability of marriage belong to the law of nature, or is it only a human law?
It is a human law that is quite contrary to the law of nature, but humans may modify their laws. Only those of nature are immutable.
Question 698. Is voluntary celibacy a state of perfection that is meritorious in God's sight?
No, and those who live that way out of selfishness displease God and mislead others.
Question 699. Isn't celibacy a sacrifice for certain individuals who desire to devote themselves entirely to serving humankind?
That is very different. I said, out of selfishness. Every personal sacrifice is meritorious when it is made for the good. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the merit.
Author's remarks for question 699. God cannot be self-contradictory or regard as evil what has been divinely made. Thus, God cannot see any merit in the violation of the divine law. Even though celibacy per se is not a meritorious state, it becomes such when it constitutes a sacrifice made on behalf of humankind by the renunciation of the joys of family life. Every personal sacrifice with a view to doing good and without selfish ulterior motives elevates the individual above his or her material condition. Question 700. Is the approximate numerical equality between the sexes an indication of the proportions in which they ought to be united?
Yes, for everything in nature has a final purpose.
Question 701. Which of the two, polygamy or monogamy, is more in harmony with the law of nature?
Polygamy is a human law, and abolishing it is a mark of social progress. In God's view, marriage should be based on the love of the individuals who join hands. In polygamy, there is no true love. There is nothing more than sensuality.
Author's remarks for question 701. If polygamy were in accord with the law of nature, it would be universal, which would be materially impossible due to the numerical equality of the sexes. Polygamy must be regarded as an institution or particular legislation appropriate for certain customs, but which social perfection will make disappear little by little. Question 702. Is the self-preservation instinct a law of nature?
Absolutely. All living beings possess it, regardless of their degree of intelligence. In some, it is purely mechanical. In others, it is thought out.
Question 703. What was God's purpose in granting the instinct of self-preservation to all living beings?
All beings must collaborate in the designs of providence. That is why God has given them the need to stay alive. Besides, life is necessary for beings to perfect themselves. They sense this instinctively without perceiving it.
Question 704. Since God has given human beings the need to stay alive, does God always provide them with the means of doing so?
Yes, and if they do not find them, it is because they do not understand them. God could not have given humans the need to stay alive without also having given them the means. Hence, the Creator has caused the earth to produce in such a way as to provide for the needs of all its inhabitants. For only that which is necessary is useful. The superfluous never is.
Question 705. Why doesn't the earth always produce enough to provide for humans' needs?
Since they are ungrateful, they neglect her. Nevertheless, she is an excellent mother. Frequently, they blame nature for the consequences of their own incompetence or lack of foresight. The earth would always produce what is needed if humans knew how to be content. If she does not supply all their needs, it is because they use her to provide themselves with superfluities instead of necessities. Look at the nomads in the desert. They always find enough to live on because they do not create imaginary needs. But when half of all that is produced is wasted on satisfying fanciful desires, should people wonder at finding nothing the next day and have a reason to pity themselves at being deprived in times of scarcity? In truth, I tell you that nature is not stingy. Rather, people do not know how to control themselves.
Question 706. Should we understand only the products of the soil as being the fruits of the earth?
The soil is the original source from which all other resources derive, because, in the last analysis, such resources are only a transformation of the products of the soil. For that reason, we should understand the fruits of the earth to be everything that humans can enjoy in this world.